jump up, let's get crazy. Jump up, let's get crazy. Welcome to the Round 17 Supercoach Coach Podcast. It's post-team sheets, Mark, and we're in high spirits.
We are indeed, mate. Exciting times.
All right, so let's start off with our rankings, eh?
Yeah, I'm sure you want to go first with your bullshit top 100 ranking.
Yes! 56th! Get around it. Come on, that's pretty good, boys. 56.
A very good effort, sir.
Yeah, I'm pretty pumped right now. That's
what's the post on the weekend?
2494, and I was hitting. I thought I'd be on target for 2600, Mark. You and I were both in for a potentially massive weekend. Could have taken out the 1K, but I think in the last on Sunday we had five plays score under 100, so it petered out a little bit. But nonetheless, we'll those take it.
Rocks.
We'll take it anyway, and we're still number one in the leagues, and we've got a nice handy league too, Mark.
We do. We made up 1,500 points in front now, so yeah, it's going to take a bit to catch us, I think, from here. Now, my ranking, normally, this would be a great moment, and you'd be very proud. 109th.
That's great, Mark.
Yeah, see, you just treat me like a little kid now. It's almost double your ranking, mate.
It's a really good effort, Mark. There's 300,000 coaches in it, and we're super happy. We're both sitting pretty in the top 150, so you're ready to join me in the top 100 next week, I'm sure.
Oh, very much so. I mean, I'm in a bit of a tricky spot this week. I'm sure a lot of people are out there that with Stevie J out, Buddy out, Dangerfield out, like, yeah, I'm going to have to try to get some premiums onto the field because I can't rely on Mitchell and Nichols every week.
Yeah, I had Birch and Franklin on the bench last week and still managed that score, but I don't think I'm going to do very well this week because I've got Franklin still out, Birch still out, obviously. Danger now out 1-4. Who knows how long that's going to be. Jono, of course, did the stupid thing, and he's out again, Mark, and you'd be spewing at me, but did score 143 as our capitanos at least.
Yeah, I actually managed to get the captain onto Curry from North Melbourne with 11 seconds to go before lockout so that I could lock in Stevie J as my captain.
Very nice. Very nice.
It was, and then after that, Stevie J kicked a goal in the last minute. It was awesome.
Yeah, I thought he petered out a little bit, but then that goal really brought home his scoring. So 140 was nice to see. I thought he was going to actually end up with a 110 for a while there. So it was great to see that last goal there.
Now, big question for this week, mate. Is Pendles the new Ablett? Like, Pendles and Ablett play the same game, so you have to take one of them probably as your vice or your captain. Which one of them two are you going? Are you staying with trusty old Ablett, or is Pendles taking over him?
That's a good question, Mark. I think Collingwood midfield's just so brutal. I think I got to take Pendlebury over Ablett in the game.
Oh, that's a massive call.
Yeah, it is. It is. You're going to go the other way, I'm guessing, then, if that's such a huge call?
Nope. I'm on board with that one, mate. I was thinking I'd probably go Pendles just because, yeah, you'd think that Collingwood would win. But, I mean, Ablett did have, maybe a 170 against Collingwood last time we played them. But that was before they had McCaffer, and I think Swanee might have been out that day.
So anyone else a sneaky chance for your captain or vice-captain this week, Mark?
Not really on the face of it. Dangerfield would have always been in the mix, but he's out. Stevie J, out. So that kind of limits my options a little bit.
Yeah, and we've got, you know, West Coast playing Sydney, lots of fantasy-relevant players there. Geelong against Adelaide might actually look all right, so I guess if you've got Selwood, you might think about him. He's been in ripping form, hasn't he, Mark?
Did you watch the Collingwood game on the weekend, mate? Van Berlo crushed Swanee, crushed Pendles in the first half and then crushed Swanee in the second half. So if you're playing Adelaide and you're not the best mid, then you're probably a really good chance at a good score. But that best mid, Van Berlo, has actually been doing a pretty good job lately.
He did score 54 against Crowley in round 14. But apart from that, 130 plus in four of the last five games. So I still That's think he's a good chance at maybe beating it, but we'll still have to see. Anyway, on to the ins and outs, because we got the team sheets, Mark, and this show will go out very soon after we finish recording. So let's get on with the ins and outs. Anything huge to discuss?
Buddy out. Again, still with the knee complaint. Lots of reports around today that Nick Nat's injured, potentially osteitis pubis. There's also talk of him having a back injury, but he's playing this week. So with Buddy out, takes a little bit of pressure off him. No massive surprises at the selection table, I don't think.
I think the main question, I guess, then this week is just dealing with the forward line dilemma.
And danger.
Should we go through with some ins and outs, or would you like to pose specific questions? Danger v trading, let's say, a Franklin or Steve John. Oh, Steve Johnson's obviously not going, but I guess it's probably Franklin v Danger for me. I'm guessing you deciding between Danger and a forward as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And whether to do both this week or wait. So the first question is, we may as well get into some questions from social media, is hold or fold Danger? For me, 1-4. If you got some trades left, then that's a trade for me. Because, I mean, Danger's been in fantastic form. They have a reasonable draw coming up. So if it was 1-2, I'd probably try and play Mitchell and keep Danger. But that doubt over the 1-4 probably enough to make me want to just trade him and bring in a premium.
Can they just play him on a jab, though?
Apparently, he was in a fair bit of pain, and watching him through the game on the weekend, he really did seem to be playing through it. So, I guess it just like they're not going to make the finals. Would they really risk him?
Yeah, you think they're not going to try and still win as many games in the run home to make a last sort of ditch effort at it?
You wouldn't think that they could make the finals from here. I mean,
The two out.
when it comes to injuries, we're obviously all just guessing. But those sort of prognoses in the past, they can go either way. And if it was four, you're really going to regret not trading him.
Yeah, I think especially with his price tag, you can even get, Griffin, who we talked about just last week being maybe a huge key to the run home, but he sort of petered out as well over the weekend, didn't he, Mark?
Yeah, copped a late corky, so I don't know how that'll affect him this week, but
76 only.
yeah, I think his kicking efficiency must have been down because he actually seemed to get a fair bit of the ball, and took a lot of those cheap possessions running around the back of packs. And my wife and I were at the game watching it, and we thought that he'd be scoring a lot better than he was at the time.
Ryan O'Keefe, for anyone who was interested, selection numbers went up only 2.4K mark last weekend. He scored 107, so that was okay to see.
He actually the tag for the first time on the weekend because he's just been crushing the opposition. So finally, someone went to him.
And still delivered. So still a decent option and still a POD for anyone looking at trading out Danger.
So if you haven't got Pendles, Swan, or Griffin, should you be just taking them without thinking about it much this week?
Yeah, I think they're probably just a step above the rest. I think, yeah, even after Griffin's poor game, I just the price tag is still pretty high on Griffin, and after that 76, I guess maybe just a little bit more wary, but nah, you gotta back him. Just said last week how important he is, so yeah, I think those three are must-haves, especially because Dangerfield makes them all pretty affordable with his big price tag.
So I presume you'd take Pendles first, if you were looking at Swan versus Griffin.
Ooh, that's a pretty tough call for me, Mark. I'm on the Swan bandwagon. I have been since he's come onto my team pretty early on. I brought him in before his bye. So yeah, Swan bandwagon for me, just in front of Griffin.
Yep, I'll do that as well, mate. Now, the next level of premiums, price-wise, we're looking at Barlow, Mundy, and Ryan O'Keefe. If you don't have those guys, who would you take?
I'm pretty hot on the Rhino fan, Mark, but train Mark, but I know you're pretty keen on the Frio boys, so.
Yeah, with their draw, and Sydney's draw definitely toughens up a bit over the last section of the season. So Barlow, for me, just so consistent, and he's just not going to get attention at Freo because they've got Fife, Mundy, Hill, Pearce, plenty of players that are going to cop attention before Barlow. So we've seen the taggers really destroy the averages of a lot of our premium midfielders this season. So that makes me think Barlow at 600 would be who I'd be looking at.
Mundy at 550 is also a decent option, 120, 119 in his last two. So
He's looked really good lately, and has faded in and out of games, but still posted the really good scores. I guess the issue would be when does someone go to him?
Yeah, I think probably I'd take Barlow ahead of him, like you, Mark. But yeah, I still like the Ryan O'Keefe option just because of his selection numbers. But I think that's just me getting greedy.
Sitting him 56th and going for the win.
Yeah. So Selwood and Jack, Mark, are the next rung that we're looking at. I'm obviously pretty hot for Selwood, and I just rattled off his numbers before.
Well, good. So,
keen to hear your opinion whether you'd take Selwood or Jack, because Jack's in ripping form too.
Until the weekend where he had a bit of a down game. I think that if I knew that Selwood wasn't going to get rested, then Selwood would probably be ahead of Mundy, Rock, and up with Barlow for me. But is he going to play every week?
Yeah, he'll definitely be rested on the run home. We have one of the softer draws for the top five teams on the run home. So, especially when we're at Skilled Stadium, we like playing our young kids there. So expect to see quite a few of our kids. But then again, Mark, you know, we're leading up to the finals. Maybe they do want to consolidate the team a little bit. He might only miss one, but still, one is one, and that might cost you down the road. And I can understand why people might not pick him on the back of that.
Well, you kind of have to take the points off his potential average.
Yeah. If you got Tom Mitchell, though, Mark, do you really have to?
Well, Mitchell was not doing very well at three-quarter time on the weekend and then had a massive last quarter.
113, so he just keeps delivering. It's amazing and fantastic to have when all these premiums are just doing silly things. Steve Johnson, stay on the park. God.
Indeed. Now, I think a lot of people earlier in the week were looking at Mark Murphy as a possible danger replacement, or even like a Mitchell upgrade potentially, because he's 368, I think. But we've heard today that he might not even play this week because of strained or corked buttocks. So probably want to be pretty wary of Murph, I think. He may be a good pick for next year because he's going to be really cheap, but he just hasn't been able to get it together this year.
Yeah, his scores in the last few weeks have looked pretty poor. So it's quite a risk taker to go after Mark Murphy. But you know what? His price tag's 370K. So I see why people might be actually looking at him. But that injury concern, obviously, immediately this week is not fantastic.
Now, there's people out there that are actually considering bringing Chris Judd into their teams, maybe as a danger replacement or some sort of mid-upgrade. Does that make sense to you? His last three rounds, he's averaged 112. He hasn't had a bad season, sort of 500s in his last seven games. Any interest there?
I think I'd just go for the top of the line. I mean, we're talking about danger replacements here, so I don't see any need to look for real value. And especially after Judd has had some strong games, he's actually not that cheaply priced, like 520 for, he's averaging 100 only for the season. It's actually, you know, pretty fairly priced.
All right, so this question is in your sort of wheelhouse. Brendan says, I've only got one trade left with a with a complete team and danger out for potentially four games, to trade or not to trade.
Yeah,
he has Mitchell to cover like everyone else.
Thanks for that. It's a little sideways jab there, Mark. But yeah, I'm in that exact situation where I have to decide whether or not to cop the points lost or actually just commit to a trade and hold on even tighter to the two remaining I'll have if I trade danger out. Obviously, Brandon's an even worse situation. If you are not going to cop a donut, I certainly wouldn't burn your last trade. You've got another 7 weeks to hold on. So
that could be a long 7 weeks.
You're a gutsy guy, Brandon. I like it.
Yeah, I definitely would be holding, especially if you've got Mitchell as cover. And your danger could be back next week or the week after. You never know.
All right, we've got a question, Mark, from Blair Dewsbury. He's a regular question asker. Thanks again. Is Tom Mitchell good enough cover for danger, or if you're down to four trades or less.
Yeah, I think this is where it gets a little bit more tricky. The one trade, you obviously keep him. And with four, especially if you're going for like a league win, then I'd probably be pretty tempted just to hold Danger in that spot. Danger's got a good run in the finals, and you might need those trades later on for more important things.
Yeah, I'm only really thinking about trading Dangerfield because I have, I'm going to cop a donut and I'm thinking about swapping him into the forward line. So that's the only reason that I'm thinking about it. If not, I'd certainly hold on. And for a few weeks now, and certainly since I've been under four trades, I've been off that mentality where if you don't get a donut, you don't trade. And I still have Grant Birchall in my team, Mark. So I certainly would hold Danger if you're down to four trades or less, and you know you still have cover for him and you're not going to cop a donut anywhere.
Rick asks, how many trades should we have left for league fixtures? And I think if you're top four and you don't have to trade really hard to get a top four position, then I'd sort of want to be holding four trades going into the finals if you could.
Yeah, I agree with you there, Mark. But then again, I'm not really a league expert. Seem to peter out, Mark, and you always seem to laugh at me because you get me in the grand final each year. So I'll leave those sort of advices to you.
Like last year, mate, you've reminded me about that. Last year's grand final was a pretty good outing.
All right, we got a question from Danny Forster. We'll quickly move on from that. What do we do with Nick Nat?
This is really frustrating. Like, I mean, paid $600,000 for him, and he's posted three terrible scores in a row. A couple of weeks ago, he had six possessions in the first 3 minutes, like literally six in the first 3 minutes, and then had about four for the rest of the game. He's just been totally not being able to run out games, not being able to put the scores on the board. So I think that if you don't have Buddy, then Nick Nat would concern me almost as much as Buddy this week. Looking at Nick Nat's stats, his taps, hit outs are way down, and that's where he gets a lot of points. He gets the hit outs to advantage. So yeah, I would be, if you've got trades, until I found out Buddy wasn't out, Buddy was out tonight, I was pretty much looking to try and get Nick Nat onto Ruffy if I could this week.
Yep, agree with you, Mark. If you have five or more trades, I'd move on Nick Nat. If not, same mentality as before. Now on to a question from Lorenzo. What happened to Turlick, Mark?
Well, he was killing it until the weekend, and I have absolutely no idea what happened. I watched most of that game, and he just wasn't even on TV very much. Like, the ball was up the Geelong scoring end where Turlick should be, and he's just been in everything the last few weeks, and he was nowhere to be seen. So it was a bit worrying. I spoke to a friend about it the other day, and they said maybe it was just because it was really wet, and he's not a wet ball sort of player where you chip it around in the back line. So maybe that might have been the reason, and I think he's been so good that you probably have to give him another chance. And Lorenzo asks, is it good to trade Turlick to Hanley? He has five trades left, and I think that Hanley's still really cheap and has a potential average 100, so I could definitely understand that trade. So that's probably one situation where it's not terrible, but I'd be willing to give Turlick another chance in most situations.
I think you're probably just a bit hesitant because you don't really like the backline options, Mark, but I'm a little bit more aggressive. Sorry?
I actually quite like Hanley as an option.
Oh, well, then I'd say you got to say yes to that then, if you know, especially because, again, five or more trades, and he's got the five trades. So if you're looking at Nick Nat to Ruffhead, then surely Turlick to Hanley's a done deal too.
No, I think that there'll be a much bigger difference in points between Nick Nat and Ruffhead than Turlick and Hanley, and part of that is that Turlick seems fully fit, so whereas Nick Nat doesn't.
Yes, that's true, but Turlick also has a 27 in his price movement, which is also, you know, you're punting, I mean, you're pretty much committing to him for the rest of the season.
Yeah, and I probably, you're probably right, I jumped off Loston when he had the really poor game, and that seems to have been the right thing to do, so I just think maybe Turlick was a mature age and in such good form that like, he was really killing it before then, that I'd be willing to give him a bit more of a go. Though I was always a little bit worried about what would happen when Grimes came back, whether Grimes would take over his role, because Turlick did only start scoring really well once Grimes got injured. So that might have something to do with it as well, and that might have meant Turlick played in a bit of a different position.
Yeah, I think it's a pretty marginal call, Mark. I'm just thinking I've been chasing points all year, so if you can change points in your five or more trades, I'd do it. But I can see the reason for holding because, like we talked about only a couple of weeks ago, Tillich's been in great nick. So when the backline options aren't all that consistent, Hanley does look good, but Hanley does can look pretty bad, in the space of 2 quick weeks. So.
You could lose a lot of points on that this week. Turley could score 100 and Hanley could score 40.
Yeah, exactly. Now, on to a question from Paul O'Connell. Should I downgrade Sam Jacobs and put Tom Nichols into my number two ruck position? He's been scoring so well, Mark, and shooting up in price still.
Short answer is yes. Unless you've got some DPP where Nichols is covering forwards and rucks, which I think is probably the most useful position for him. Otherwise, you may as well put Nichols on the ground and Jacobs on your bench. Like, Nichols is scoring better than Jacobs. That's what I'd be doing.
Let's take a look at the forward line options, Mark. I know most of us are probably looking at a donut there. So I'm probably deciding between Walker, Ruffhead, and Stokes as a Geelong bloke. How about you, Mark?
Looking at Paddy and Ruffhead, probably are the two options, with the main difference being the $60,000 and whether that could be put to better use elsewhere.
So you're not a fan of Walker then?
Look, I have been a fan of Andrew Walker this year, and I like the way he's been scoring. And I just love how much cheap ball he gets, and he's been getting plenty of possessions. But he does have a 3 round average of 91, and if you look at his scoring, like, he was crushing it in the first 5 or 6 weeks, and since round 7, he only has 3 scores over 100, and that's over 9 weeks. So 6 scores below 100, that's not necessarily what you want to be looking for at 500,000.
Yeah, I think he's still just clearing 100 average from that period though, which is still pretty good. I can see why the gloss has come off him a little bit, and we always talked about, halfbacker probably losing it's a bit of its sparkle as the season wears on, available on the forward line. So obviously Ruffhead's a big contender for the both of us, I guess. Why do I need to look at Ryder a bit more carefully, Mark? Maybe I need a sales pitch from you.
Mainly the difference for me would be that Ruffhead hasn't had a rest yet this season, and looking at the Hawks draw, there's no obvious game where they'd rest someone, I don't think, of Ruffhead's caliber. But you think that going into the finals, the Hawks have had a bit of a history of resting their players, and you'd think Ruffy's shed a fair bit of workload this year, playing forward on the ball in the ruck, that you'd think he'd be a prime candidate to get a rest at some stage. So that's probably the reason why I'm looking at Paddy. I like the fact that you can use him with dual position. You can bring him into the rucks if you need to, so he can sort of cover more lines and do more things for your team. So, also been in really good form lately. Started off maybe a little bit slow early in the season, but since his suspension, he's been posting really good numbers as a forward and a ruck, and has still managed to hold those numbers the last couple of weeks, even though Bell Chambers has been in the team. He's coming off 110, 101, 98, 99, and 102. If your target's doing that, then you'd be pretty happy with it, I think.
54, the one low score, and that's really surprising, Mark. I thought that I really didn't think he'd been that consistent. So thank you for making me look at him. I think Ruffhead, just as he's by far the in-form forward, 110, 80, 117, 126, 130, 95, 101, and then recent weeks, 92, 145, 112, 92, and 130 last weekend. So,
just killing it after his slow start. Absolutely killing it. He's almost looked like a must-have for the number one team, sort of thing, whether that eventuates or not.
So off the back of that, Mark, I guess both of us will probably have him in our teams this week.
Probably not, mate.
Oh.
I'm looking to potentially spend the money better elsewhere. So I'm definitely tossing up between Roughhead and Ryder, and might do a sneaky trade Danger to one of those guys.
Well, Mark, if I were to pass up on Ruffhead too, it'd probably rough Ryder probably won't get me there, but maybe little Matty Stokes might.
But didn't he miss last week with a groin? And like that seemed, I think it was legitimate, wasn't it? That like he, I remember them in the week before that they actually did say that he pulled his groin.
Back in this week
They
already,
said he
though.
pulled his groin.
He's back in this week already, though, Mark. And he's actually been really consistent for us. He's not scored below 78 all season. Oh, 76 was his low against Hawthorn just last weekend. 78 was the, oh, sorry, the weekend before he missed against Melbourne. The previous low to that was 78 against North. So super consistent, Mark. He always gets a couple of goals and seems to get about 20 or so possessions. We've got a really nice run home. He just missed the game, so you think he's probably not one for the rest after he's come back in, playing at Simmons. He could probably average 100 on the run home, Mark.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I just think Paddy maybe has an upside of 105.
I don't think Stokes, as much as I'd like to think he could get there, he probably won't. He's only had six scores above 100, and his highest was 125. So,
Now, what about Brent Harvey over Andrew Walker? Harvey's averaging 104, has a 3-round average of 116. Did have a low game against Fremantle, where he copped a tag, and a low one against the Gold Coast before that. But yeah, 110, 125, 115 in his last three, and hasn't played a lot of games this year. But geez, already got six scores above 110.
yeah, I think if not for his run, you'd probably like to take him. But I think, you got Geelongus and then Hawthorn Collingwood still to come. Probably enough to turn you off, Boomer.
That is a very tough draw that he's looking at there, mate. Especially finals in Supercoach with Essendon and Hawthorn and Collingwood in the last 3 weeks.
Now, last question we got for this week from Jester is, if possible, can you discuss a post on the forum about trading to upgrade bench cover? You'd love to know our thoughts. So thanks for the question there, Justin, and thanks for getting involved online on our forum. Mark, what do you reckon about trading for bench cover? It's been a hot topic in the last few weeks, and we have talked about it recently, but thoughts again, Mark?
Basically, my thoughts are that you don't trade for bench cover. I think that that's going to run you really low on trades, and that you can't actually predict the future, so you don't know where you're actually going to need those players. I think maybe in this year that might be a bit more relevant because of the rolling lockout, but my thoughts are that you save the trades for when you know you're gonna need them and to cover donuts basically. Whereas I know you've gone down a bit of a different track.
Yeah, and I'm obviously not in too poor a position, but on the knife edge as well. So it's a bit nerve-wracking, but that's the choice I've decided to make this season. I know in years past I've been sitting a bit more closely where you have been, Mark, around that. I've been about 100, 150, around about six, 7 rounds out with plenty more trades than everyone else, but then just couldn't make it back. So this year, slightly different tack, and both are reasonable strategies. I think I like upgrading for bench cover, but that's just a little bit of greed kicking in because, like Mark said, with the rolling lockout, there's potential there. But I can certainly understand Mark's point of view, and I'm sure he's sitting very, very happy with three extra trades and only 50 spots behind me.
Yeah, and I'm still a bit over 100 points behind, so long way to go. And hopefully those extra trades will get me there by the end of the year. It's surely we've seen in the last few weeks that carnage is coming.
You have me nervous, Mark. You have me nervous. Anyway, with that, we will call it quits. We've got to get this out pretty quick. So hopefully it'll be in the ears of you guys soon. And all the best for round 17. We'll catch you guys next week. Hopefully the Cats keep on rolling.
Go Bombers. And then.